skies for amber waves of green, for purple mountain majesty.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, if you're out there across America, we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But hold your calls, please, because, well, you can call in, actually, because our special guest, Dor Gold, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, won't be with us until 9:45, and so we will welcome your calls prior to that time. But we're going to be talking about Mr. Gold's book, Hatred's Kingdom. And it's the story of Saudi Arabia and, of course, the religion that they have, which is the basis of Islamic terrorism. Now, most people have never stopped and wondered, where does this whole Islamic terrorist movement come from? And the reason they don't is because, of course, everything is done to confuse them. Do not confuse Islamic terrorism with a Muslim religion. There are five tenets of the Muslim religion. One is, of course, is no God but Allah. Number two is that you pray five times a day. Number three is, of course, that you'll be charitable. Number four is the fact that you will take a trip to Mecca during your lifetime. And number five is that you'll fast during Ramadan. Now, you don't feast during Ramadan. You fast during Ramadan. But there is a sixth one, which is part of the Wahhabi religion, which is the religion of Saudi Arabia and, of course, of the adjacent states, and that is jihad. And of course, you have to understand that when Muhammad was here, why he advocated jihad, but the Muslim religion became much less militant after that. And even, of course, when the Muslims swept across Arabia and they swept up into Europe, they didn't necessarily kill other Muslims who didn't agree with them, and they certainly didn't kill all the Christians and the Jews. Yes, they were second-class citizens in Muslim countries, and they had to pay special taxes, but the whole idea was not to kill them. It was to have them, incorporate them into this society as second-class citizens and hope that they would convert to Mohammedanism. But, of course, the whole concept of the Wahhabi religion, which was the rebirth of the original fanatical Islamic religion of Muhammad, and it came about in the early 1700s, was if you didn't agree with their brand of the Muslim religion, why they would kill you. And that's what the jihad was all about. You killed Muslims. You killed anybody, of course, who didn't agree with you. And the great tragedy is people do not understand that this whole movement came out of Saudi Arabia. It's been financed by Saudi Arabia and the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, why would the Central Intelligence Agency finance this? Well, where were we going to get an enemy after all? If communism was going to become less militant, it was going, of course, to wither away, and we were going to be able to merge towards this one world government, but we had to have an enemy. So you go back and you read the books that were written in the late 1990s, books like Dollars for Terror, which we carry through my ministry, or the book entitled Unholy Wars by John Cooley, who is a reporter from the Christian Science Monitor, hardly a right-wing extremist. And, of course, they will tell you that the United States financed the Taliban. The United States continued to fund the Al-Qaeda movement after, the Afghan war ended. In fact, the whole movement really came about because of the Afghan war, which we created. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two, and we'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, I want to point out that we're hoping to have Ambassador Dor Gold, who is the Israeli ambassador, or was the Israeli ambassador, to the United Nations during the Netanyahu time in Israel, when Netanyahu was the prime minister. Ambassador Dor Gold, author of the book Hatred's Kingdom, will be with us. And we've got the shipment of this book in. We think it's a very, very important book because it goes into the background of who's funding the Islamic terrorist movement. Who funded the terrorists who, of course, destroyed our country? Where did they come from? Well, 15 of the 19 of them came from Saudi Arabia. Where did Osama bin Laden come from? Osama bin Laden came from Saudi Arabia. Where did this whole Islamic Wahhabi movement come from, and who financed it? Why, the Saudi Arabian princes. But it was not only during the Afghan War, and then in the aftermath of the Afghan War in the 1990s. All during the 1990s, why this whole Islamic terrorist movement and sending these Islamic terrorists throughout the world, many of them we call them Afghans because they had fought in the Afghan War, that was financed by the CIA. But they were sent throughout the world to set up terror cells, most of them in the Philippines, Indonesia, and, of course, Southeast Asia, and here in the United States as well. Here in the United States, Saudi Arabia spent literally billions of dollars building mosques, and we have about 1,500 mosques in America today, and at least half of them were funded with money from Saudi Arabia. The clerics in those mosques, many of them have been taken to Saudi Arabia to be schooled in this radical form of Islam, which leads to Islamic terrorism. They've gone into our prisons and spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars recruiting black men, telling them that the Christian religion is for the white man, the Muslim religion is for the black man, and converting many of the men there, criminals, tragic victims of society. Maybe some of them are inherently criminals, but how easy it is to say somebody else is responsible for what you've done. And, of course, when you become part of our brotherhood, why you are part of this whole Islamic movement, and all across America, why we have these Islamic cells made up of blacks recruited in our prisons with the full knowledge and support of our own government. And that is the incredible, incredible part of this whole story that we're talking about today. Saudi Arabia has been at the very center of this whole Islamic terrorist movement and been consistently covered up. That fact has been covered up by our own government. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course we're waiting for Dor Gold to call. At least hopefully he's going to call. He's over in Israel at the present time, and we've interviewed him in the past. He is, of course, was the Israeli ambassador to Saudi Arabia. His book, Hatred's Kingdom, is vitally important and really seminal to an understanding of what's going on in the world today. Now, if you are out there across America and you'd like to give us a call, assuming that Dor Gold doesn't call, or we have another 7 or 8 minutes before he does call, then give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR if you have a question or comment on this subject. What you must understand is that after September 11th, when the dust is settled and many of the families of the tragic victims of that senseless attack began to analyze what was going on, it became very apparent that there were Saudi Arabian princes and people at the highest level of the Saudi Arabian government who had funded this Al-Qaeda movement, who had funded Osama bin Laden, and they'd given him several $100 million, supposedly. Well, you leave us alone, we'll give you the money. And I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe that this whole thing, they've known exactly what they were doing. But there's no question that this Al-Qaeda movement, this Islamic terrorist movement, has been funded from Saudi Arabia. And so, of course, the families of the victims of 9/11 got together, and they got lawyers, and the lawyers then were going to launch lawsuits against the people in Saudi Arabia. Now, if there was no involvement at all, it would come out in the depositions. Of course, there would be an opportunity to get discovery. You bring a lawsuit, you get discovery. The other side has to turn over information. But the Bush administration did not want that. Why? Because they knew that the Saudi Arabians were involved in funding this whole thing. And the last thing they wanted to do was to cut off the funds to the terrorists. Now, the president has said, oh, we're going to get the people behind this whole thing. Or we're going to go to war with Afghanistan because they're behind this terrorist attack. And yet, of the 19 terrorists, not one of them came from Afghanistan. Well, Osama bin Laden was there. Well, Osama bin Laden, the government of the Sudan had offered to turn him over to us in 1996, and we wouldn't take him. In 1997, and you'll find this in a book called Bin Laden, the man who declared war against America by, certainly by a man named Joseph Badansky, who was the director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare. And he will tell you that in 1997, the Taliban arrested Bin Laden and said, you know, that turned him over to the Saudi Arabian government. And the Saudis wouldn't take him. Why wouldn't they if he was such a terrible menace to them? By 1988, we had people on the ground monitoring his every movement. By 1999, we had Predator planes that were watching him on a daily basis. And, of course, the Predators could be armed with weapons that could have taken Osama bin Laden out. But, of course, we did not do that. What did we do? Why, we canceled the Predator flights so that, of course, we'd have no excuse for not taking out Osama bin Laden. Congressman Warbacher in Southern California, I heard him talk at a meeting I attended. He told me that he went to the State Department. He said, I know where the Osama bin Laden is holed up at the present time. I mean, I've been told by my friends in Afghanistan, you can go and get him. Why would we? Because he was involved in, the Black Hawk Down incident in Somalia in October of 1994, and the bombing in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia in 1995, and the bombing of the Khobar Towers in 1996. He was involved in the bombing of our embassies in 1998, and bombing of the coal in the year 2000, and so many other issues. Why didn't we, of course, want to pick him up? Why, he was the best enemy that money could buy. He was the Emmanuel Goldstein of 1984. Get 1984 and read it and understand how the people were manipulated in 1984. And then see how we're being manipulated today. We have articles out of the Washington Times talking about after the initial American attack on Afghanistan, how, of course, high government officials came out publicly and said, well, you know, we have a policy of Osama bin Laden last. We're not going to try to get Osama bin Laden in the war, at least not initially. Why? Because if we got him, how could we justify continuing the war? And what it was really all about, was putting a puppet government in there, stationing American troops in Afghanistan and being able to build an oil line. You have to understand that we'd planned on this long ahead of time. I mean, there's a man named Niaz Niak, and he was a Pakistani diplomat, worked for their equivalent of their State Department. And you'll find this story in a book called The Forbidden Truth. And it was written by a French author, The Forbidden Truth. And he tells how in July, why he was attending a meeting, and I think it was in Berlin, with American leaders. And, of course, the representatives of the Afghans were supposed to be there. And he says that the Americans were saying, look, either the Afghans accept our offer of a carpet of gold or we'll pave their streets with a blanket of gold or with a blanket of carpet bombs. You know, you've got your choice. Either do exactly what we want, and that had to do not with Osama bin Laden. It had to do with, of course, letting us build an oil pipeline across there. UNICAL wanted to put a pipeline across. They were negotiating with the Argentinians, and there is no way oil people were going to get into the Central Asia. This was reserved for the American corporations, and it all has to do with the corporations. It has to do with UNICAL, and it had to do with Union Oil Company, and they wanted to build that pipeline, and that's why we went to war. Now, how can I make that statement? Well, it's really very, very simple. We were told we have to go to war because Osama bin Laden planned the whole attack on the World Trade Center. You know that? Remember that? We had the proof of it. We knew Osama bin Laden, what he'd done. He was involved, but we couldn't let anybody see the proof. We couldn't let anybody see the proof that Osama bin Laden had planned this whole attack, but we had the proof. Well, the people, the Taliban over there said, look, you show us the proof and we'll give you Osama bin Laden. Oh, we're not going to show you the proof. You just give them to us, and you give us all the al-Qaeda leaders. And they said, well, you know, in fairness, we can't give them. You show us the proof. So we said we will not show you the proof. And if you don't give them to us, we're going to go to war with you. So they said, all right, we'll send Osama bin Laden to a third country, and then of course he can be tried for his crimes there. And we said, no, you need to turn him over and all the members of Al-Qaeda. Of course, we didn't even tell them who we wanted. We just told all the members of Al-Qaeda. And then, of course, they said, look, we'll just send him out of the country and you can pick him up when he leaves. And we said, no, we want to go to war. And what they did is they intentionally created a situation just like we're creating in Iraq today. You make impossible demands where we're telling Iraqis not only do you have to totally disarm, but of course you have to get rid of Saddam Hussein as well. Otherwise, it's going to be a war. Well, right now, fortunately, Ambassador Gold is on the line. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
I understand you're back over in Israel.
Well, now I've been sort of going back and forth all the time. I'm now in New York City, and I'll be going back to Israel very shortly.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so much your being with us. And, of course, we want to talk about your book, Hatred's Kingdom, because I think it's so vitally important that people understand that although we're going to war with Iraq, one of the major sources of funding for the whole Islamic terrorist movement is Saudi Arabia.
That's right. And I think, I was really concerned with two issues. One, of course, is the funding issue, and Hatred's Kingdom has this vast array of documents, canceled checks, payment schedules, which demonstrate that indeed they have been funding terrorists in Saudi Arabia. But I go another step further. I believe that in order to vanquish terrorism, you have to vanquish the terrible incitement that goes on in Saudi Arabia of that whole population. Terrorism works because people delegitimize other religious groups or other ethnic groups, and then even dehumanize them. And that sets the stage for young people to think they can be murdered. And unless that changes in Saudi Arabia, you have in Hatred's Kingdom Arabic and English translation of mosque sermons. You read that stuff, you understand where the motivation comes from.
And I think it's really, and what I really learned from your book, and was something I'd never realized before, and that is that the original five tenets of Islam, or at least of the Mohammedan religion, the Wahhabis, which is the basis of the Saudi Arabian religion, had added a sixth tenet, and that was jihad. What's the significance of that?
Well, actually, it's true. There are five tenets in Islam. We won't go into all the details on those of charity and fasting and then making the Hajj, etc. There was actually another group that broke off from Islam called the Kharijites. They added a sixth pillar of Islam called jihad. But the Wahhabis basically replicated the same pattern, and some of the Wahhabis preachers who are cited in Hatred's Kingdom actually make reference to this and say, some say there's a sixth pillar. Jihad. The Wahhabis really put an important stress on the jihad in its militant form, meaning holy war. And by restoring jihad, they helped set the stage for the resumption of the kind of militancy we're seeing today.
And of course, the one thing that's so apparent is that the average Muslim fears going to Hades, he can go to paradise or Hades, but he's never guaranteed he's going to go to paradise. The only way he can be guaranteed of that is to die in jihad. So that really gives him a tremendous, tremendous incentive, doesn't it?
Well, I should say this. In classical Islam, in the Middle Ages, many Muslims said other acts of righteousness can bring you directly to heaven, or being a scholar of Islamic texts, or one who leads prayers. The Sufis believed this. That was the Muslim mystics. But it were the Wahhabis who returned the whole idea of jihad, and therefore also the idea that one who dies in the holy war goes automatically to heaven. And this has been, this theological assertion has helped incentivize many of the suicide bombings in Israel and the suicide attackers in the United States. They spoke about the fact that they would go to heaven if they destroyed the World Trade Center and the Pentagon.
And, of course, everybody's forgotten. 15 of the 19 terrorists came from Saudi Arabia.
That's correct. They weren't Iraqis, they were Saudis. I mean, maybe the U.S. has to take care of Iraq for other reasons right now, and I understand the priorities of the president, but down the road, you've got to put diplomatic pressure on Saudi Arabia to get them to change their ways. Stop the flow of money, seriously, and also stop the incitement.
All right, we're going to be back in just about 4 minutes here with Ambassador Dorgel. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is Radio Health Journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamex, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-405. 4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamex. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that in times like this, we don't know what's going to happen. I hope nothing happens here, but in case there should be any problem with the water, what would you do? How could you be sure you'd have fresh, safe water? Well, there's the Big Berkey. It's the ultimate water filter. It's the most economic filter you can buy. The ceramic filters can be recleaned up to about 100 times. It's convenient. It sets up in minutes. Without any plumbing tools, it's powerful. The Big Berkey removes pathogens such as E. coli, cholera, cryptosporidium, and reduces the chlorine, herbicide, pesticide, foul taste, and odors. The Big Berkey is so powerful it can easily filter raw, untreated water from lakes and rivers. It's elegant. The high-grade polished stainless steel will complement your finest decor. It's flexible. It's ideal for your home, college, dorm, RV, or boat. And, of course, ordinarily these are $279. You can get them from Radio Liberty for $239.95 plus $10 shipping. And we offer with that any one of the four tape sets or any one of the various videos that we produced. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, I have to tell you that the Big Berkey is not available in California or in Iowa. But we do have something, it's called the Berkey Light, and it is basically uses a different type of filter that gets out literally 100% of all bacteria. The Berkey gets out 99.95%, but the Berkey Light can actually be sold here in California, and of course, instead of stainless steel, it's a clear a plexiglass color. It's extremely attractive. We've seen the pictures of them, and we're going to be getting one. It has two black filters that filter out really even much more efficiently than the Big Berkey, various things. And, of course, this is available here in California. This is $199 plus $10 shipping. It's an excellent source of filter. And if you'd like to learn something about what we have here available in California, it's called a Berkey Light, and you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Warren. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dora Gould, Ambassador Dora Gould. His book is Hatred's Kingdom, and if you haven't read it, you should. We're carrying it here at Radio Liberty, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I'm going to ask that you not call in for the time being, because I want to get as much information out, and Ambassador Gore can only be with us for perhaps 30 minutes or so. One of the things that, you know, we have heard repeatedly is that, of course, the wicked Saddam Hussein has been giving money to the Palestinian families of the bombers so that, they get maybe $10,000, which is a lot of money over there. So if your son or daughter goes over and blows themselves up and kills, innocent Israeli civilians, why are you a real hero and you get $10,000? But what was really so shocking to me is that Are they not telling us that the Saudi Arabians are funding this as well? Is that true?
Absolutely. And the documentation for that is in Hatred's Kingdom. You know, it is remarkable, but the Saudis, you know, are part of the of incentivizing terrorism. Don't forget a poor family with a kid who's been brainwashed, been told by his local religious leader that if he blows himself up in an act of jihad, he'll go to heaven, and he'll be viewed as a hero. And many times these kids see what happens to the in other families where a young man has blown himself up in an attack on an Israeli school or on an Israeli cafe. You know, the parents sit for a week in memory of the child, and they give out candies in his honor, and there's posters with his picture on it, and he's a real hero. And, you know, these young people fall into that trap, but also they know that Saudi Arabia or Iraq will be writing a very fat check for the family. And that is part of creating the environment which tends to support this kind of, these kinds of terrorist attacks.
Well, you know, what's really so interesting is we never hear about this in the United States. In other words, I read about five or six newspapers every day, and we all hear about the wicked Saddam Hussein, but we never hear that the Saudis are funding this as well. How much do the Saudis give for the family of a terror bomber? Do we have
It varies, but there have been reports between $5,000 and $20,000.
All right, fine. So and of course, to subsidize this sort of thing, and people blowing themselves up, I mean, this is sort of a perverse, how can you justify something like that morally? Are you worried about morality? Are the leaders over there who are putting up this money, and it is coming from the Saudi civilians, from their charitable organizations?
These are coming from telethons that are run by members of the royal family, and it's all in Hatred's Kingdom for people to read.
Members of the royal family put on telethons to raise money to finance the terrorists.
Well, what they say is, no, we were just giving humanitarian aid. We just wanted to, there's a Saudi spokesman who's all the time on American TV, Adel Joubert. He talks about, well, we just wanted to put blankets in their homes and pharmaceuticals on their table, or food on their table and pharmaceuticals in their homes. And then, you know, when you read the actual spreadsheets for these payments, it says specifically it was for an act of martyrdom. This is the name of the guy. This is where he killed Israelis in this location. And these documents, these spreadsheets, are Saudi spreadsheets. They have the, you know, name, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, was spread across the top in Arabic, so they know exactly what the money is going for.
Well, now, what is the source of this documentation, which you have in your book, and which anybody who gets the book can read? Where did this...
That's what's interesting. I mean, some of the documentation we have in the book, the sermons, some of the Saudi books that justify the attack on America religiously... Those come from Saudi websites in Arabic, which my analysts downloaded, and we translated, and we make them available to the American reader. No one else is going to let you see this kind of stuff. But the other thing I put in Hatred's Kingdom are canceled checks, payment schedules, spreadsheets. That comes from material that was captured by Israel in Palestinian headquarters. And these are Saudi documents. And that's what makes them so fascinating. And they're there for people to judge. You see the documents, you see the checks, and you reach your own conclusions about what the Saudis have been up to.
Well, of course, we have this from many other sources, and you know, if you read enough newspapers, eventually you begin to see this picture. And then, of course, this constant apology for the Saudis. Oh, shucks, we didn't know what we were doing, and yet, of course, this is really what's so bothersome. And you point out that as of October, the end of October of last year, Prince Abdullah was meeting with the head of Hamas. Now, Hamas is an Islamic terrorist movement that is doing everything they can to keep the peace process from working, from any sort of accommodation between the Palestinians and Israel. And here, Prince Abdullah is meeting with the head of Hamas in the latter part of October last year.
That's correct. And I bring that out because the Saudis were advertising at the time in Washington that they had stopped having contact with suspected groups. They were saying one thing in English to their PR firms in America, and they're doing something entirely else in Arabic in Saudi Arabia itself. Well, I present you the Arabic that's been hidden.
All right, fine. And, of course, I think it's so vitally important that our listeners do get this information. Again, the book is called Hatred's Kingdom. It's put out by Regnery, and, of course, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll be right back. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, I just wanted to mention that if you have children that are going to government schools here, they are not being taught to read and read properly. They teach children how to read properly in Israel. They teach them how to read properly in Lithuania and Latvia and Russia today, and they use a phonic approach to reading. We do not allow that in most schools in America, at least in most government schools, and as a result, why we see the tragic reading scores of our children and their overall basic scores comparing with the children of Lithuania and Latvia, and we do very, very poorly in relationship to other countries. This is not happening by accident, and it's very, very simple to teach a phonetic reading, because phonics is the basis of spelling and pronunciation. We have a program, it's called Phonopoly. And it's simply a board game. It's played like Monopoly. There are actually 5 board games and 2 bonus games. And, of course, we throw in a couple of books written by friends of mine, go into the background of the tragedy of American education and the program of deliberately dumbing down our children. But a smart group of children will not follow their leaders. They will think for themselves. They'll know history. They'll understand what the great philosophers of the past have written. But if you can't read or don't like to read or get sleepy and tired when you read, well, you're just going to go along with the flow. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask about the Phonopoly. And then, of course, we also have the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum on 32 CDs. A wonderful, wonderful program to teach children how to read. And how the entire educational program from grammar school to high school graduation is available for $199.95. It's designed so the parents don't have to do a lot of work. The tests, the textbooks, everything is there but the Saxon textbooks. Call us for the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, 1-800-5-HIV-1. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest is Ambassador Dor Gold, and we're talking about Saudi Arabia, and we're talking about his excellent, excellent book, which is must reading for anybody who's concerned about the attack on the World Trade Center, about the war on terrorism, and of course what's happening in America today as we move into more and more wars. And of course, your suggestion, how can we possibly get the Saudi Arabians to change their policies? You commented in your book, we should bring diplomatic pressure to bear, but it seems that the administration talks a good game and does absolutely nothing. And as of October of last year, why they were bringing Hamas right into the Saudi capital there, and why Prince Abdullah was meeting with the head of Hamas, one of the most vicious of the Islamic terrorist movements. I mean, it doesn't look like we're doing a very good job with our diplomatic pressure, or are we?
Obviously, the United States has its priorities right now. It's concentrating on Iraq because the president clearly feels that Iraq is a country where its weapons of mass destruction has the greatest chance of getting in the hands of terrorist groups. And because of that nexus, he's focusing on Iraq. He can't focus on everything at once. But what I'm saying is, you know, once this war is over with Iraq, people will be asking, okay, how do we make the Middle East work? How do we fix it? How do we prevent the Middle East from becoming a region that exports yet another attack on America? And so I'm saying one of the things you have to do is you have to address Saudi Arabia. You don't have to attack them, you don't have to occupy them, you don't have to take their oil fields. What you do have to do is put pressure on them to stop the funding of terrorism, number one, and number two, to do something about the terrible internal incitement that basically prepares the groundwork in the future for Al-Qaeda and other organizations to recruit Saudis enlarge to much, let's say, disproportionately to the size of their population.
And of course, this basically is the very basis of their religion. Their religion is the, not simply the Muslim religion, but the Wahhabi religion. And the Wahhabi religion actually incites this sort of violence, doesn't it?
Well, what I try and do, you know, in Hatred's Kingdom, for people who, you know, have never really read about the Middle East before, but really want to understand what's going on, I explain the difference between Shiites and Sunnis and the Wahhabi sect inside of the Sunni world. I think the hatred that motivated those attacks on America grew somewhat out of the Wahhabi version of Islam, but also out of the fact that Saudi Arabia as a state hosted many Muslim militants from Pakistan, from Egypt, from Jordan, from Sudan, from Syria. You know, many of these militants were kicked out of those countries, particularly the Muslim Brotherhood from the Arab states. And they got jobs in Saudi Arabia. They were given stipends. Many went to work in their higher education system in the universities or in the large Islamic charities. And that's what helped create a kind of hothouse of Islamic militancy in Arabia. And basically created the backdrop for the rise of bin Laden and Al-Qaeda.
Well, you know, I think you did a wonderful, wonderful job. I've read a good deal, and I've written a fair amount on, you know, this whole Islamic terrorist movement. But I learned so much from your book, from the history, as you begin to give this whole incredible overview of the history of the Muslim religion, going back to its inception and then carrying it right through up to the present time.
Well, again, I think it's something that had to be done. I feel it's important to expose people to the internal thinking. To maybe I'm a frustrated school teacher, and I want people to sort of learn a little bit about the Middle East. Because I imagine, you know, you grow up in America, you read about the Ohio Valley, the French and Indian Wars, Lewis and Clark. I mean, who taught you about the Nejd Plateau in Arabia? It's a little bit far afield. So if you really want to get on board and understand what's going on, I even deal with the Iraqi Ba'ath Party. You know, I try and explain all these fundamentals to people as I carry through the analysis of where the hatred came from that led to the attacks in 9/11, but could also lead to future attacks on America as well.
Well, of course, the thing about the Ba'ath Kingdom, pardon me, the Ba'ath Party over there, I mean, this is really the basis of Saddam Hussein's control, really, isn't it?
That's correct. But, you know, there are people in this country who doubt President Bush. And the skeptics are saying, well, how could it be that a Ba'ath party in Iraq could do business with a fundamentalist Muslim group like Al-Qaeda? After all, the Ba'ath are godless socialists, and the fundamentalists are ultra-religious and want to fight the secularists. But in fact, we've seen in other cases in the Middle East where, while strategically two movements could be very different, tactically they can work together. For example, the Ba'ath Party in Syria works closely with Hezbollah. That's the Shiite Muslim militant group. So if they can work together and surmount their differences there, they certainly can surmount their differences in Iraq.
Well, one of my concerns certainly is, what is this war, when it comes, going to mean to Israel? You know, will there be a fanatic attack on Israel as a result? We hear that there are 4,000 Hezbollah troops there stationed in Lebanon. These are suicide troops financed by Iran. They've got all sorts of missiles. Certainly a frantic Saddam Hussein going to, lose the war. He's going to be killed. He would have no disincentive to strike out at Israel with perhaps chemical or nuclear weapons or chemical or biological weapons. He has them squirreled away there, hoping that Israel would retaliate, and then, of course, he'd get more help from the Arabs, because if Israel comes into the war, then, of course, many of the other Arabs will come in. So, I mean, I am just concerned, really, for the safety of the Israeli people. Do you share that concern?
Well, you know, I'm very concerned. I have family there, obviously, and we have to plan, you know, for all eventualities. I think there's a lot of unknowns about what Saddam Hussein could do. I know, as a former ambassador to the UN who was familiar with the Iraqi case, that the Iraqis have a lot of weapons that are unexplained. They ordered large amounts of, let's say, growth and nutrient for biological weapons, and they never explained what happened to it. They ordered jet fuel that can't be used in those little short missiles like the El-Samud, but the jet fuel that's only good for long-range missiles that could hit Israel, but they can't prove what they did with the jet fuel. They're supposed to, according to the UN. And, they have every kind of germ for germ warfare developed. They could try and send it in a missile, I think they'll have a hard time. But they could use one of those low-flying drones, or they could give it to a terrorist in a suitcase, and they could cause a lot of damage. But Israel, I should say, is on guard. It's protecting itself. And it's a society with a lot of experience in dealing with these kind of threats.
Well, of course, you know, are the Israeli people preparing with gas masks and other things, you know, for this possibility?
Let's put it this way. Nobody's making fun of duct tape in Israel.
Well, let's go to Fred calling in here. If we should lose you, I hope you'll give us a call. I don't think we will. I think we're in good shape. But let's go to Fred. Hi, Fred. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, could you hear me all right?
You're doing fine.
Yes, I just wanted to say, make one comment. I seen on the news yesterday that... if people don't think we're going to go to war, I've seen where Bechtel and Halliburton and four or five other big construction companies are already bidding to rebuild Iraq. So.
And, of course, you remember who used to be the CEO of Halliburton, don't you?
Yes, that was the vice president.
Right, okay. Anything else, Fred?
No, that's it.
All right, fine. So I'm going to let you go, and I hope I can get... There, we got rid of Fred without losing our special guest, who is, of course, Dor Gold, a former Israeli ambassador to the United Nations and certainly deeply involved in this whole process today. Some people have suggested that perhaps, and I don't know whether you want to comment on this at all, that perhaps Saddam has transferred some of his weapons of mass destruction into Syria. Into neighboring countries so that we wouldn't find them there. Do you think there's any possibility of that?
Yes, that has happened. In other words, I can tell you that Prime Minister Sharon in a press conference revealed that intelligence, that some of this material has been hidden in Syria.
And I think that the trouble is that, the people here in the United States, I hate to say this, but they're not getting the truth. I mean, certainly we've had this from other sources, and, and of course, I was not aware that Prime Minister Sharon had brought this out. But the thing is that the people throughout the world know that this is where the weapons of mass destruction are. They're in Syria. And, of course, that makes them even closer to Israel. Let's go to Charles, who's calling us from Seaside. Hi, Charles. Question or comment?
Just a comment, actually a question if you care to make a comment on it yourself and to your guests. With the testing that the North Koreans are doing as far as trying to shoot into the sea of China and all this good stuff, you think it's quite possible with Vladimir Putin's visit to the ranch over here instead of the White House that they, America as us, might put Russia in a squeeze play as far as having North Korea maybe side towards them as far as incoming battle, more or less, hit them, more or less, to pressure them to work with us?
Well, I don't know whether Ambassador Gold wants to comment on that.
It's a little far afield for me. I'd rather
theoretically, wouldn't it be easier for North Korea to cause a greater threat to Russia than it would be us?
No, I will tell you that I'm firmly convinced we're going to war with North Korea, but that's the next one. But anyway, thanks so much, Charles.
Thank you.
You just keep listening, but let's try to stick as much as we can with this issue. And I don't want to put Ambassador Gold on the spot because basically his book, Hatred's Kingdom, deals with the Middle East, the history of the Middle East, the history of the Wahhabi religion, where Saudi Arabia gained its power, and of course how Saudi Arabia is really funding this whole radical Islamic movement. And we're going to have to recognize this at some time. And of course, we keep talking about how we have a war on terrorism, and I do believe that there are these radical people from Al Qaeda, many of them, of course, trained in Afghanistan following the Afghan war. But you cannot have a major terrorist movement without a state funding. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Pardon?
In other words, when you have a terrorist movement this vast, you really need to have some country that's putting up the money to finance it.
Yes, I would say so. And in this case, there's considerable evidence that Saudi Arabia is behind a lot of this terrorism. They have these very large international charities that are involved worldwide with 30 or 40 offices per charity. And in different parts of the world, and already intelligence agencies of several countries have identified these charities as conduits to terrorist groups.
But, I mean, they've been doing this for many, many years. This is
certainly since the late 1980s.
Right. All right, fine. We've got Roger calling from Allentown. Roger, do you have a question that deals with the subject today?
Yes, two, if you please. Would you reject the premise that the Saudi royal family has to, facilitate this fundraising, etc., to mollify internal dissent from the Wahhabist and the larger population?
All right, that's a very good question. What Roger is saying, look, the Saudi family has to do this. They've got to keep the Wahhabi clerics happy, because, of course, and I think the one point you make so beautifully in your book is that the Saudi monarchy maintains its power because it's validated by the clerics, by the religious leaders. The religious leaders get their power because they're validated by the monarchy. So, and of course, Roger is saying, well, is it that perhaps they're going along with this just to keep the clerics happy?
Absolutely. I think there's clear evidence that there is a kind of, let's call it, payment of protection money. First of all, a payment to the large charities that are run by the clerics, so the clerics will support the royal family. But in the specific case of Al-Qaeda, the former head of the CIA, James Woolsey, called it a Faustian bargain, basically to keep Al-Qaeda happy and keep them from attacking Saudi Arabia. Every so often they may make a threat, but they changed their strategy in the mid-1990s.
Well, you don't pay money to the mafia, and you certainly shouldn't be paying money to Al-Qaeda just to let you alone. And what's your second question, Roger?
They couldn't roll back significantly and still placate the clerics?
Roll back whom?
I think he's speaking of the royal family roll back on their funding of the...
No, they couldn't hold back. They feel they have to do it. But if the price of them staying in power is taking down a couple of skyscrapers every couple of years, that's simply unacceptable. They have got to clean up their act. They've got to stop the funding and stop the terrible incitement of their young people.
Amen to that. Well, anything else, Roger?
Yeah, lastly, what about Sharon had coming out sort of apologizing, I think it was Sharon, for them having created Hamas in the first place?
No, I don't think that's...
I think you're a little off there.
I don't think Sharon said that. I think that's what some commentators who like to attack Israel like to assert.
Okay, thanks so much, Roger.
Thanks.
And, of course, but the one thing that really bothers me is that Hamas, is there. They are certainly doing everything they can to keep any sort of accommodation between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Do you think that that we could get some new leadership within the Palestinian Authority, and that they might, actually try to maintain control of the militants? Or
it's going to take a long time. But also, you can't get a peace process going between Israel and the Palestinians if the Saudis are constantly funneling money to the most radical elements.
And I really think that's what I've learned. It's that the Hamas is there doing everything they can to stop the peace process. And behind Hamas, behind Hamas is Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely.
And until people recognize that, we're never going to solve the problem over there.
That's right.
Well, we're just about out of time, and I know you've stayed a little longer.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Oh, a parting thought? Yes, I think we can build a safer Middle East. I think the Middle East has to be dealt with because for years you thought the major threats to America came from Europe. Well, maybe they're coming from the Middle East today. But to correct the Middle East, to make it a safer region, a region that doesn't threaten America, it's not enough to just deal with Israel and the Palestinians and get into that myopia. You've got to start dealing with Saudi Arabia. You've got to get the Saudis to stop funding the terrorism and to stop acting as a breeding ground for the next generation of those who might attack you.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and I wish you well and your family over there, and I fear for, or will be praying for the people of Israel, and we ask our listeners to do that as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye. And, of course, that was Ambassador Dor Gold, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you will, in all sincerity, pray for the people. Pray for the Israeli citizens. Pray for the Arabs. Pray for our boys who are going into this war, which I totally disagree with. We're going after the wrong enemy. And the question is, why is it that Ambassador Gold knows we're going after the wrong enemy, and I know we're going after the wrong enemy, and the people and the government don't? And, of course, that's why you need, of course, to get our material on the Project for a New American Century. You can go to their website, www.newamericancentury.org, www.newamericancentury.org. See who the people are, why it's Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Richard Armitage, John Bolton, all the people who are part of the current administration were part of a plan that was established back in 1997 to create an American empire. And the first stage was, of course, to station American troops in the Middle East. And as they said in their own words, the American troops stationed throughout the world would be like the cavalry on the old frontier. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty to finish up the program. Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-based education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for outcome-based education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a couple of the other things we offer here. If you are out there across America and you have not yet have a supply of food or the other things that you really need, if we should have some sort of a disruption of our society, and people say, that's never going to happen here. Well, I'll tell you what, as Ambassador Gold said, nobody laughs at duct tape and plastic over in Israel. Could these things happen here? Well, I hope and pray they don't. But on the other hand, if God is a just God, he is going to do terrible things to this country. For I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice on America cannot sleep forever. And so my suggestion is you make your preparations, and if you'd like more information, we'll be glad to send you a catalog, a free catalog from Ready Reserve Food, and they have all sorts of food and all sorts of supplies and 50-gallon drums and various things that you need to have on hand in case there is a disruption of our society. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and simply ask for the Ready Reserve food catalog, and we'll send it along, and then you send it back to us, and we'll be sure that you get the various items that are mentioned there. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, this book we were talking about, Hatred's Kingdom. It's a very important book. You have to understand who's really behind this whole terrorist movement. Osama bin Laden came from Saudi Arabia. 50 of the 19 terrorists came from Saudi Arabia. So we go to a war with Afghanistan. Now we're going to war with Iraq. Is there some other agenda behind what's going on? Yes, there is. And, of course, we hope many of you will want to get copies of our free newsletter or our newsletter. We'll send you one free copy if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, because America will soon be at war. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported, and we're primarily listener-supported, and we hope that many of you will decide that you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours every day, starting at 7 in the morning, ending at 10 o'clock at night, as we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us do what we do, our telephone number is 1 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, many people join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and that is certainly the bulwark of our support. And when you join the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But, of course, the money that's over and above the cost of what we have to put in, it goes to finance the radio stations. And certainly on the weekend, we're on 35 radio stations across America. And during the week, we're on all sorts of other stations and on shortwave and the Internet and satellite and all means of reaching out. And, of course, as you know, right now, our programs are being heard on Genesis for 2 hours a day. And, of course, we hope that many of the stations across America will begin pulling them down. I just want to mention, of course, we're carrying something called the Berkey Light. And, of course, it is a water filter. It's distributed by the same people that put out the Big Berkey. But, of course, it's $199 plus $10 shipping. And, of course, it's really the filters even do a better job than the Big Berkey filters do, although they don't last as long as the conventional Big Berkey filters. And if you'd like to get the Berkey Light, it is available in California as a portable water filter, unlike the regular Big Berkey, which is not available in California or Iowa. So certainly they're both excellent products, but the one, the Berkey Light, is available here. It's a little less expensive than the conventional Berkey, and we recommend the Berkey Light to you, available by calling 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we want to mention that we hope many of you will go to our website, which is www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And you can pull down our newsletters. They're all up there, and you're welcome to copy them and distribute them. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. Many of our programs are archived. Our afternoon and evening programs are archived. Our early morning and first Genesis program, of course, you'll have to, if you're going to get it on the Internet, you'll have to go directly to those. But there are links to both Genesis and the American Freedom Network from our website at www.radioliberty.com. Please tell others about our radio programs, because that's how we get the information out. Please tell them about our website and encourage people to go there and begin pulling down our programs and listening. And, you know, we had a gentleman earlier today, and he was just saying, this was on our first program, you know, it seems that we're allowing the communists to get all of our secrets. I mean, we let the Laurel and Hughes Electric, transferring all of our military secrets to the Chinese communists, and they get, you know, a $3 or $4 million slap on the wrist, and they've made hundreds of millions of dollars in profit. And I simply pointed out, you don't understand. This is the way the game is played. We are creating the best enemies that money can buy, and when you understand that, then, of course, everything makes sense. If you are looking at anything from a logical point of view, why, nothing, of course, is logical. And so we certainly ask you to very, very seriously consider getting my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which lays out the whole incredible story of what this is all about. Because behind everything that's going on is a spiritual battle. And as we say, behind all the schemes of men and behind all the schemes of demons, behind the schemes of men, behind the schemes of men and demons is a higher hidden hand. And there always has been. We're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
What do you mean gutted them?
The cards out, but somebody sent the boards back because they felt they were damaged and they looked pretty good to me.
tell you, we'll see if we can put one together for you.
Okay.
But it's really a very efficient means of
learning
phonics and spelling, and that's your weakest point is spelling.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Right. Because you're not spelling out, you're not sounding out the word.
Yeah. I'm just telling by the way they look. That's the way I learned to read also.
You can't do it. You've got to have the basically sounding them out.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see if I'll talk to Barbie and see if we can put one together for you. At least you can see how it works.
Okay.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, he knows how to promote his stuff. He knows how to make it
Gold.
Gore
Gold, yes.
Yeah, but you kept calling him Ambassador Gore.
Did I?
Mm.
Gore.
I hope